Hey there, and welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Timberlake Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Our mission is to reach, feed, and release people to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You can learn more at our website, timberlakeumc.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
On a cold winter morning in the midst of the American Revolutionary War, a man rode by a group of soldiers frantically trying to repair a broken piece of defensive barrier. This barrier was directly outside of their encampment, and this man noticed the toll that the cold winter weather was inflicting upon the soldiers, and that the job that they were attempting needed at least one more person to help accomplish the task. This man also observed an overbearing non-commissioned officer yelling harsh words and berating the men under his care every time that they failed at nearly an impossible task that had been given them. The man stepped down from his horse and asked the officer why he was not lending a hand to help his men repair the barrier. With great indignation and sincere pomposity, the officer said, "Sir, do you not see that I am a corporal?" The man apologized to the corporal and quickly moved in to offer the extra hand needed for the men to lift the beams in place to fix the barrier. The job being completed, and the man, as he was dusting off his clothes, was approached by the corporal and asked, "Who are you, sir? I would like to thank you by name." The man mounted his horse, looked at the corporal straight in the eyes and said, "Corporal, the next time you have a job like this and you have not the men needed to accomplish the work, go to your commander in chief and I will gladly help you with the task." Then General George Washington spurred his horse and continued to enjoy his day off. Welcome to week one of a two-part series where we are looking into how we are able to serve our neighbors in the midst of this unique time that we find ourselves in. Before we can truly answer the how in serving our neighbors, we need to answer the why we serve our neighbors. Why should we go out of our way to serve our neighbors in the first place? Before we get into our message, let us pray. Father God, we say thank you so much for who you are. We say thank you for your goodness, and we say thank you that we are able to approach you in right and real ways. God, we say thank you that you come and that you are strong and that you help us in our times of need. God, we ask you in this moment that you would be glorified, that you would magnify your words in me, and that I would become small, and that you would become big. God, I ask you, silence the enemy, allow our hearts to hear from you, allow our ears to be circumcised, that we would be able to receive your word this day, and that in that, we would be transformed, that we would be nourished, and that we would be sent forth to do your will in building your kingdom in your world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Graduates from Lincoln Christian University during commencement receive two things. They receive a diploma and a towel. The diploma marks the completion of an educational milestone for the student. The towel signifies a lifetime commitment to service in which every graduate commits themselves for. The diploma signifies, equips the graduate to lead. The towel, however, represents an even more important qualification for a leader, especially biblical leadership. See, without Christ-like humility, no one can lead in a biblical manner. This tradition comes from our scripture reading for today. If you would, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13, and we are going to be reading a kind of big chunk of the word, but that's okay. It's good to have a steak every once in a while. And so we will be reading John 13, 1 through 17 together. If you would, hear now the word of God. "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? See, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Apostle John starts his account of the Last Supper with Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. In this basic act, Jesus shows radical love to those who are following him, using common items like a bowl, some water, a towel. Jesus parades for us a revolutionary and significant example of humility wrapped in love. Take notice that Jesus is the one who is the one displaying what it is to be a doer of God's word, not just a hearer of God's word. In the time of Jesus, it was common practice for people to wash their own feet. When entering a house from travel, sometimes dirt and grime would get on your feet, and it was customary and nice for you to clean those off so you would not trample all that nastiness through a house. A good host would usually offer a basin of water for any guest who had been walking on those dusty Israeli roadways so that they could find some refreshment as well. If the host was well off enough, they would probably have a slave that was designated to do this task of washing the feet of their guests. It was well understood that no free person would ever lower themselves to such a humble task. So, understand that for a free person to wash another free man's feet, that she or he was engaging themselves in the action that only slaves would present to be in. See, when Jesus lowers himself, he performs this lowly act. He is voluntarily assuming the position of a slave and showing his deepest felt affection for every one of those men who had followed him over the past 3 years of his ministry. Don't confuse what Jesus does here with weakness, however. Jesus does not act out of weakness, but out of strength. See, John tells us that Jesus has come from God, and in going to God, and that God has placed all things into Jesus' hand. Jesus has an authority. These hands that have all power are now washing the muck and the dirt from the feet of his disciples. His power is shown in humility and radical act of service. In verse 2, we see that Satan is hard at work through the heart of Judas Iscariot. Jesus knows the treachery to come, yet Jesus does not lower himself to the devil's level. In the face of outright betrayal, Jesus washes even the feet of the man who will soon turn his back on him and seal his fate with a kiss. He sells the life of Jesus to the Romans for a few pieces of silver. When we see this type of love, we should recognize that this is not just a mere feeling or an emotion that Jesus has for his disciples. See, this is a divine display of the form of God's love takes when faced with evil and with sin. God loves us in the face of our sin. As we move into the interaction between Jesus and Peter in our story, I myself am confronted with how I act most times when someone offers to serve me or my family. In October of 2019, my wife Bethany and I were blessed with our fifth child, Houston McCartney Lasky. Isn't that a cute picture? In this photo, you can see my wife, and this is in the hospital, and our baby girl, who is so excited about having a little baby brother there present. Of course, there's a piece of technology in her hand, because goodness gracious knows that kids can't get away from that these days. But even in the excitement of all things, Houston comes. And here is a photo of Houston just a few days back in the snow. Gosh, I have cute kids. I show these photos to totally gloat on how beautiful my wife is and how cute my kids are, just to let you know. I also want to brag on something else. I want to brag on the hospitality of this church. Over the years of serving Timberlake, there have been many times where our family needed a little help. Houston's birth was one of those moments. We were able to be served greatly with cards, with warm phone calls, and last but not least, food. Y'all know how to feed people. Within that, we are truly blessed by you all. However, in my pride, it is hard for me to accept that you all would serve me. See, in my pride, I well up and I bristle up and I'm like, I can take care of everything myself. I act like Peter acts toward Jesus in our scripture. Peter questions Jesus on why he, the teacher, would lower himself to the form of being a slave. Why does Jesus put himself in this place of service? Jesus is showing Peter and us that if anyone is to be in relationship with him, it will come as a gift. This is the scandal of God's grace to us, a love so deep, a love so sublime that it is willing to lower itself to serve us. This act of service is a foreshadowing of the ultimate display of Jesus' love, when he endures the cross for Peter and for us. In this act of service, Jesus tells his disciples that what he is doing is not only an act of hospitality, but an example for them to follow. After Jesus shows his love for them, he then shares with them their ability to watch and to wash each other's feet. In fact, he commands them to. If we go a little further down from our scripture today, we read in John 13:34 Jesus says these words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." One thing to keep in mind is that Jesus did not lower himself to the place that slaves were put at to enact some type of feeble social justice initiative. No, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus shows us the price it takes to fully serve a neighbor. The cost is our whole life, not just part of it. In the command to wash each other's feet, Jesus is calling each of us to a love that does what is needed, not merely a love that is expected. Again, Jesus calls us to a love that is needed, not merely a love that is expected. This love catches people off guard. It displays itself when least expected. We also understand from our reading today that this love is best shown in community. When a person's feet are being washed, they are vulnerable. When you wash another's feet, you can see the type of dirt that they are carrying. You notice the calluses that are on their feet. You are privileged to see these things. In washing feet, you are able to examine and to wash away the dirt that has accumulated during that person's journey through the world. Washing one another's feet quickly moves into a time of healing and refreshment. This is what true Christian community does for each other. It serves each other. John shows us that love is not something that is a side note. Love is a harmony that is fully accomplished through the actions of a community in service to one another. These acts of service are what the world sees. As those who are far from God look at the example of Christ has given to us through the washing of feet, they are brought closer to the heart of God. In communities of faith where people are willing to serve and to be served, that is where the Holy Spirit moves in great power. Remember the words of Jesus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Hear this. God wants to wash your feet. Jesus was the first to take the space of being a slave that night in the Last Supper. There were opportunities for others to lower themselves, but Jesus did it. It was Jesus who made the action to humble himself. This same Jesus took an even greater level of servanthood a few hours later after receiving 40 lashes, his skin torn open, countless acts of ridicule and betrayal, even from those who were closest to him, humiliation. He was laid naked before the crowds. Even his own mother was there present. In speaking of his mother, he was so disfigured, the Bible says that she could barely recognize him. A crown of thorns was placed upon him, a robe that would dry with the blood on his back was placed upon him and removed, exposing again the open sores and wounds inflicted upon the cat of nine tails that ripped his flesh. And at the top of all the emotional and physical thrashings that he had endured, a crazy thing takes place. In the midst of his loneliest hour, his disciples turn their backs upon him. But the Bible teaches us that not only did the disciples turn their back, but the Father turned away. And in a crazy moment, Jesus becomes sin. He becomes sin on our behalf. This is what we read in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him who had no sin. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we in him might become the righteousness of God. There is a transfer that happens here on the cross. Our sin is laid upon Jesus. Jesus becomes our sin. Every piece of dirt that we have gathered up on our journey is loaded upon the cross that day. Every burden, every pain, everything that we can ever endure is placed upon Christ. And in a moment, there is a transfer that Jesus takes upon himself. The sin that Jesus has put on him transfers to our righteousness. See, our bank account was corrupt. It was overdrawn. But Jesus placed upon us his righteousness. Our bank account is now full. We are able to do things that we never were able to do. As we read these words that God made him to be sin, I pray that we have ears to hear. When Jesus lowered himself to wash the disciples' feet, he was starting a revolution when it comes to leadership. When Jesus was raised up and nailed upon the cross, he finished what would hinder each of us from fully knowing God. See, Jesus made a way for us to fully know God again. In John 10:10, it says that Jesus came to give us life and life abundant. And so this day, I hope that we push in and that we lean into the abundant life that God has for us. And when we answer the why of why we serve our neighbor, it is because we have a great example given to us, the greatest example given to us of Jesus laying his life upon the cross, his death becoming our victory. In those moments, we are to realize the gift of our salvation, and I hope we are able to do that today. See, Jesus first loved us so that we could take up the role of servant and faithfully wash the feet of all who are willing to accept it. To God be the glory. Amen.